Well, welcome once again to another episode of Grace to Stand. This is Zoom edition. So Darren is not in my office. He's in his own study. And we decided, you know, this has to be a way we can also have these meetings. Because I guess, what are you, an hour away from me, Darren?
It's about 45 minutes. And, you know, gas prices are dropping, but it's still roughly $4 a gallon in that neighborhood. And I don't know, if you were more downhill both ways.
Both ways.
I can just put it in neutral and make it work. But the older I get, it's more of like going uphill both ways, right? You know, you start complaining about having to go uphill both ways. So, yeah. And just because we're trying to maximize the use of our time, we're doing this from a distance today, which is the way we're going. So,
yeah. And so if you watch it, you know, that's why the scenery is different. If you listen on iTunes or Spotify or something, this is a test episode really to see how the quality comes along. We are, you know, we're both Gen Xers. So what that means is we can adapt, but we're not super tech savvy.
Right.
I think that's what it means.
I feel like I missed it by about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
What? The tech?
Of really knowing the ins and outs of all the tech.
And sure.
I feel like I'm just, you know, a couple of years on the older end of that. So
yeah, maybe. But we're the adaptable generation. But anyway, we digress. So this episode is going to be different in another sense too, because when we were doing those church membership discussions and going through the membership vows, Darren and I, as we often do in our private lives with each other, but just went off on a total tangent that was a 13-minute excursus on when it's okay to leave a church. And that episode was long as it was, and it kind of detracted from the church membership vows that we were reading through and sort of the beauty that we found in them. And so we cut it out. And then as we listened to it, we said, wow, it's actually not a bad discussion. And so we'll make it its own episode, but it's not long enough to fully be its own episode. And so we'll have a, you know, maybe half of this will be a discussion leading into that discussion on when is it okay to lead a church. But before that, you know, just the premise behind it, like what causes people to leave churches? Now, certainly a move could cause a person to, you know, that necessitates leaving a church, but there's all kinds of reasons we spoke about why people leave churches, especially in our non-committal culture, our the culture of the self, the aversion to commitment. And we've talked about that again in those two, we had actually two full episodes. But just Darren, as you think of that question, like why people leave churches, and not to get into the philosophical stuff, let's get to the more like on the ground stuff. Like what makes a person leave a church?
There could be any number of reasons. I mean, sometimes it's a matter of convenience. They were attending a church that was farther away, and then there's a church that's closer, and they're the dynamics of their family or their personal lives are shifting, or issues of that nature. And so they decide to go somewhere closer. Some people are just real finicky. I mean, they really have people have the consumer mentality, you know, they see what is newer, what is different, what kind of strikes their fancy at the moment. And they hear of the, you know, the new big church around the corner that seems to be really striking the right chord. And so what they do is they start going there. So there's a novelty, right? I mean, like something new can be really scary, but at the same time, there can be a novelty to it after perhaps becoming bored for one reason or another at the previous church that they were at.
What about like, you're right. And I think especially like that first episode we did just on why church membership, we dealt with, you know, quite a bit of that mentality that as Christians we're called to fight against. But what about when people are, you know, some people leave church because they're upset, right? Or they're hurt. So you know, they get in a disagreement with another church member and they feel like it's, you know, it's becoming very public, or they don't agree with leadership's decision, or in those cases, like what should a person do if they find themselves like at a church that they've considered themselves a part of and committed to, and they're finding themselves dissatisfied there for any one of a number of reasons? What should a person do?
I mean, I think they need to explore what that dissatisfaction is really about. I mean, what is the dissatisfaction just because the new car smell of the church has worn off? And so that's what it is. Well, that's not a very good reason, I think, to leave a church, right? So that's something where maybe repentance and really taking stock of what's happening in your heart needs to happen. But there could be other issues, that, you know, just a trust issue with the session, a decision that was made by the leadership of the church that they didn't necessarily agree with. But the thing is also is that they might not have understood all of the backdrop behind that. So, I mean, sometimes their sessions are dealing with issues, elders, leadership of the church, they're dealing with issues and because they're knee deep in it. I mean, because they really are having to address all the different dynamics of it. And the member of the church doesn't, because they're not on the inside of that, doesn't know all the dynamics. Sometimes they can think that the session is either not dealing with it at all or not dealing with it wisely or so forth. And they can have a patently false and untrue notion of how the elders of the church are dealing with it, or just a misunderstanding. So what I think they ought to do in that case is sit down with a pastor or sit down with one of the elders and express some of their concerns and misunderstandings. And then, you know, listen to what they have to say and know your scripture well enough to know if the responses are being within the realm of scripture, and whether the day what needs to happen is it needs to be dealt with relationally with the issue, the people with whom you may have a concern or a real gripe or issue.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. And, you know, I think, you know, people are church hurt, mm-hmm. and people have been let down by the church, and it's just because the church is full of, you know, people who mm-hmm. sin. You know, like, you know, the church is not exempt from that, but we hold out a promise and a vision for the church that often doesn't live up to the reality of a person's experience, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think going back to those membership vows and membership discussion, I think, you know, you made the point, when you do that, it keeps you from church hopping, so that you have to do the hard work of making it right, you know? Because again, if you church hop, you can't do all the one another's, you know, Paul talks about one another. But you know, if you don't put an investment in, you can't really get hurt. And then when you do invest in something, your time into a church and relationally, and even as people get to know you, you know, the threat of that getting attacked is greater, and it is often easier to run, you know? And you know, I think of Philippians 2. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, like Paul's like inviting them to think, do you feel these things? Do these things exist? And like, if you're honest about it, you know, then he says, well, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And man, that's hard. We can't even often be in one mind with you know, spouses and best friends, let alone a diverse body of believers. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest or his own interest, but also the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You know, which is interesting, because there's such a backlash against the WWJD mentality, right? Like, what would Jesus do? No, it's not what Jesus would do. It's what he has done. And yet that's what Paul is saying here, effectively, like what I'm asking you to do, Christ has done. Like what would Jesus do? What has he done? who though was in a form of God did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. By being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Right.
I can never just stop. I got to keep reading. Sorry. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then he goes back. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, which is a verse that you quoted in the other episodes. And the point is, Paul says we do the hard work, right?
Exactly.
Christ has done the hardest work and made us a people. And that's why I think what you said about dealing with it relationally, if we have any encouragement in Christ, any love, any bond was there, like, it's worth fighting for, you know? And so whether we're in conflict with another member or with the session, yeah, there's a risk of being hurt more, but the joy and the benefit that is held out to us, and the promise of a reconciliation and restoration in those things is so much greater. The opportunity is so much greater for that if we find our unity and union in Christ.
It exactly. I mean, I think, you know, when you look at friendship, for instance, you look at the family, and there's a metaphor there, right, of the household of God, right? That's how the church is oftentimes metaphorically spoken of in the scriptures. You don't just get to when that household becomes inconvenient, difficult. There's some conflict. You don't just leave your family. You don't just leave the household and go somewhere else because you think the grass is greener on the other side. Because the fact of the matter is that if I go from my house, if there's conflict in this household, and I think, well, it's just awful here because we're in a state of conflict. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my neighbor's house and I'm going to go live there. What I'm going to find out after a few days is that, oh wow, they have some conflict too. I mean, they have areas of disagreement too. I mean, that is literally going to be the case. That is 101 times out of 100, that's going to be the case. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, that's the bride for whom Jesus died. If Jesus can be patient with this church, if Jesus can love this church at the point of giving his own life for it, and we're called to be imitators of Christ and have the mind amongst ourselves, which is Christ, then perhaps we should the Spirit ought to be working in us to such a degree to keep our commitment to people and to that body, despite its failures, not because it's so wonderful. Again, yeah. There are, and we're going to talk on the other side of this of reasons why it might be time to look elsewhere, because there is a time. I mean, it's not just commitment come what may. However, the arc of your heart ought to be towards staying, committing, investing, involving, participating.
Yeah, yeah. Time. Because, you know, like as you were thinking, it's like we want to, as you were saying what you were about, you know, wanting it to be exciting. It's like we want a perpetual honeymoon period. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in my experience, when there has been conflict in the church, mm-hmm. and as it, whether it was with me mm-hmm. as a member or I was a pastor trying to help people resolve it, like, mm-hmm. those when two people who can be on completely different sides of whatever the conflict is are both committed because they're united to Christ, to the same goal, it's just been beautiful how it's come out. And so many mm-hmm. things really were misunderstandings as opposed to actual offenses. There's something about seeing you know, people repent, you know, and how it disarms and you realize, man, it's not me against the world. Like this, me and this individual, like, look at how they just repented to me. And I know how I've acted, and it becomes, you know, So it's worth the work, you know, and I've seen it, and really, you know, God brings beauty from ashes and death to life. And that's not just our salvation. That's our sanctification. And we have one another to work through things with, you know, but typically also, like, we have to evaluate our own identity in what the issue is, because so many times people leave churches over like ministry decisions with leadership. You know, certain ministry was canceled and a new one started, and or people felt like they weren't valued in their service in a certain seat that they're occupying. You know, another thing is people can derive so much identity and worth from that service opportunity. And then when the church leadership wants to go in a different direction, they take that as a personal assault or attack. And we got to remember, like, we are members of a body. God has given elders to sort of direct things. And, you know, the best way to figure out if this is really a personal attack or if there's some bigger things at play is what you said at the beginning, you know, to go have a conversation. You know, your leaders should be able to have conversations with you, and they should be able to, you should be able to express displeasure in respectful ways, and they should be able to speak back to you in respectful ways. And, you know, and I found if a number of people have come in upset about things, whether it's at this church, Meadowview, where I'm at, or my former church, and they come in ready for a fight, you know, and they leave realizing it's not a fight at all. You know, like we're on the same team, and no, what you're saying is fine. Let's do it this way. Or here's why we couldn't do it the way you wanted to do it. But we see value in what you're saying. Can we figure out a different way to do it? You know, but people just heap sort of dissatisfaction and disappointment on other disappointment until they, you know, it's all bad about the church. And it's not the church sometimes, you know.
This plays into a whole bigger issue beyond this discussion of church membership and just harboring bitterness.
Bitterness.
You know what I mean? I mean, by that, I mean, I'm just saying something can get under us. Mm-hmm. It's really not that big a deal. I mean, it's a rock in our shoe, right? Like it's something that is a nuisance, but it's not going to utterly destroy our life. And really what we could do is we could just make the hard decision to take our shoe off and empty the rock out and let it go. Right. But what we do is we let that fester and we let that marinate. We let it simmer and it just grows and grows and grows until it builds hostility that really shouldn't be there. I mean, and what would the enemy love more than that to have happen in our hearts?
Yeah.
I mean, to see hostility over something small that just snowballs and it gets embellished. And then you start to see, like, if I have that perspective about you or somebody else, then every time I see you, the lenses through which I see you are viewing you with nefarious intent or just lack of wisdom and so forth.
As if we're the enemy, you know, and that's why Ephesians, Paul says, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And that's what you're talking about. Like this, you know, the enemy using these things and, you know, how much greater than, you know, fight the powers of darkness, be committed in the gospel of Jesus Christ to reconciliation and restoration, not running away. You know, I mean, you want to do something right, countercultural and something, a force for good, you know, fight the urge. And
sometimes the issue isn't the other person. Sometimes the issue is you. And usually it's some combination of both. And so there just needs to be, as far as it depends upon me, is that I'm going to choose to live peaceably with my neighbor.
You think that might be somewhere in the Bible, huh?
That's in the Bible. Second Hebrews, yeah. Where the guy says, somewhere it says.
Right. And Bible, honestly, right? That willingness to examine ourselves, you know, like often I've found people you know, sometimes people like want to leave a church because the church is doing nothing. Like it's the holy huddle. And, you know, whether I've asked them about their own church or they thought maybe that was a church, it's like, well, what do you want to do? Well, why aren't we? And they start listing a whole bunch of things. And I look at them and say, yeah, why aren't you doing that? You know, in other words, it's projection. They're projecting on the church what they're perceiving as their own dissatisfaction with their own life in a certain area. You know, if you want to be, if you're upset the church isn't witnessing more or doing more outreach or evangelizing more or being more hospitable, like, well, who is the church? We are the church. You know, it's like, so what are you doing? If you're, you know, and that's what I tell people, well, great. What are you going to do that for the church? Because mm-hmm. if you're thinking me, the senior pastor is going to do that, like I have a calling here and, you know, what's your calling and how can you help? How can we help you and support you do this ministry that the Lord has placed on your heart? But the dissatisfaction in that case isn't with the church, it's with the person themselves, but it's got to be a willingness for them to look in themselves.
Yeah. And then right there, what you're talking about is getting into a theological issue where some people have this they don't understand that the calling of the Christian, the individual Christian, is a broad calling, but the calling of the church is a narrow calling. So they get bent out of shape that the church isn't doing the broad calling. It's not doing it's not speaking to all of the political issues of the day. It's not saying we're not going to gather on this Sunday for worship. Instead, we're going to go out and serve our community. When that's not, churches that are doing that are not being faithful to scripture to completely eliminate gathered worship in order to go serve the community. What is the calling of the individual Christian is to do that. The calling of the individual Christian is to go out and live in salt and light in the culture. But the calling of the church is to make disciples. The calling of the church is to bring the word of God to bear upon the people of God and to call them to faith and repentance and lead them into faithfulness to in their walk with Christ. So because people have a misunderstanding of the function of the church versus the function of the individual Christian, they expect the church to operate outside of its calling. It's like, you know, they want to go to Chick-fil-A and order a hamburger. That's not what Chick-fil-A's mission is. Chick-fil-A's mission is to make chicken.
Eat more chicken.
To make hamburgers and to, you know, and Chinese food and Mexican food and the whole deal.
So, yeah, well, I think we certainly haven't exhausted that, but I think for our time's sake, we'll play mm-hmm. The next 13 minutes will be about, because there are genuine reasons for people to leave a church. And, you know, that segment will explain that. And of course, it's done through prayer, but we'll let it speak for itself. And honestly, I don't know when this whole episode will air. So we may be on other sort of Zoom environments before you see this one, but this is the first time we're trying it. And so,
yeah,
that's it.
All right. Thanks for joining us and stick around for the next 13 minutes, right?
That's right.
Okay. When is there a time where it is, what would the circumstances be in which, you just maybe had to leave a church or you had to, you look at that fifth vow and you're like, I don't know how I can do that. I don't know how I can do that at this church any longer. Hypothetically, what kind of circumstances would have to be in place there for that to?
I think it's case by case. I think I think you can leave a church. I mean, but I just think it's not simply because, you know, they stepped on your sacred cow. You know, mm-hmm. It should be prayerful. It should be thoughtful. I mean, certainly, like, let's get this out. I mean, if they're not preaching the gospel anymore, you know, you can leave. You should leave. You know.
Yeah, right. And I guess that's kind of what I'm thinking of. Yeah. You know, just a complete, where there's either heresy, and hopefully our other courts of the church, our presbyteries and General Assembly, are dealing with that. If that were to ever happen,
right.
But just such a dereliction of duty, or failure on the part of the session to adhere to their vows,
to which you in good conscience could not continue to honor their authority in the church. That is when I would say it's best to not be in a place to where you are going to give off an aura of disunity and disrespect to the elders, because I mean that can be sniffed out by the congregation. Then it's time to go elsewhere. But that is a decision that ought to take place with tremendous prayer and tremendous counsel and tremendous biblical rationale for what you're doing. And so my point in saying this is that this vow and all of these vows really keep me from just bouncing around to places I just like what they're doing better, or something got under my skin here, or they aren't supporting my ministry like they used to support it, or something like that, where it those are not issues of just wanton sin, but when there is just utter failure, utter dereliction of duty, or heresy, just something patently unbiblical, that's when it's time, for the sake of the peace and purity of the church, and for the sake of the health of you and your family's own spiritual well-being, to find another congregation to align yourself.
And I'm probably more right, and that's why I said, like, you know, if doctrine or something, but like something, you know, you could just have legalistic preaching grates against you week in and week out, or, you know, like I know people like complain when people leave churches because they hate the music, you know. Believe it or not, I'm a little sympathetic to that. Your relationships in the church ought to be good enough that you want to be there. But if every week you're sitting miserable in the church, and here's where you really got to examine. And like I've seen people that have been really upset, and they just are stewing and they can't get over it. And at some point you have to say, like, I think it's okay to say, you know, the it's not you, it's me thing. You know, there's a sense that if your whole existence is going to bring disharmony and disunity, and you've worked at trying to make it work, I think it's better to leave than to cause disharmony. I don't think somebody has to sit under preaching that they hate every week just because, you know, but I think they got to leave right. They have to leave right. I think they have to find a landing pad before they leave, and they got to be talking to the elders, and they have to do it in such a way that they're not bringing disharmony.
Right.
But I think there's been such, you may disagree with me on this. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not saying what I'm saying is right. Like, I'm just saying there's such a thing that's like, you can never leave a church unless they've left the gospel. And I'm like, man, if there's nobody, if you're a father, for instance, and I know you just opened a can of worms, you know, but like if there's nobody in that church for your children,
right,
or your wife, like there's just nobody in her peer group, and it's like at some point you need to find a church where you're in community. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Again, you could disagree with me, but there's been this. So on the one extreme, it's like people leave a church because they just, I hate that music, or I don't like what he said, or it's like, no, there needs to be more measured than that, you know, or they cancel the ministry I love. But on the other hand, then there's this thing in these legalistic circles that you should almost never leave a church.
Yeah, no, I think I really do agree with that. I mean, because if you are in such a state of misery,
yes,
for good, bad, indifferent reasons, you are going to display some sort of nonverbal disposition of disenchantment with this church. It is going to be very hard for you to keep the purity and peace side of it, even if you're not actively going around sowing discord. It's people can sniff that out. They can feel it in the air, when that's where you're at. And I think I would agree with that. But I mean, you really gotta, don't make that decision on a whim. Don't make that decision because you know the last three Sundays you just didn't really resonate with the pastor's sermon, and Coolio down the street seems to really be that.
No, that's a violation of your vows.
Well, I mean, but that's what people do. Yes. They just treat it like, oh, the new store down the street is got more of what I want, so I'm just going to go down to that. You're not committing to a corporation here. You're committing to the body of Christ, and I think that's a different thing altogether. I mean, I know I have a friend of mine who left his church because they were driving 30 or so minutes to that church and passing by a number of other really good churches along the way, and they decided, they talked with the session about this, they talked with the pastor about it, and said, we're just under a conscience that we want to worship somewhere closer to where we live, so that I mean, part of it is for convenience sake, but part of it has to do with the fact that, what if I want to invite my neighbors to church? They're not going to, like, why would they drive a clear, you know, 30, 35 minutes to church when they could have something in their backyard and be meaningfully connected to the community? Because you can't do that when you're so far away.
But I've also known people that leave because their gifts, like there's a church with a need and their gifts so fit that need, and the church they're in is very, has a lot of those.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, and it's a difficult thing, and they make, and it's like, but this church really could use me, you know. So I'm not as strict about the leaving thing. I think you got to do it right. You don't do it on a whim. I also think you don't throw grenades on your way out, you know. Mm-hmm. And you don't make your unhappiness the church's fault either. You could be stewing in unhappiness, and in our culture everybody wants to be a victim and everybody wants to blame, and it might just be you, and you may just have to leave.
Right. You know,
don't make
exactly
it the
right.
church's fault. That's kind of my point as part of the process. You need to be in relationship and do it the right way. But well, that was unscripted, and you kind of opened
well,
up something
it's
I thought
something
through.
I just think that I just really think, and this will be, I'll just close on this note.
Yeah, we went long. Wow.
But I just think that at some point there, it is very likely that a person will be mulling over this or feeling this. Maybe even some of our listeners right now. And if that is the case, I just want to reiterate, you know, make sure you have a biblical rationale. Make sure that you have really seriously prayed through this. Make sure you have sought good counsel, and you're not just making an autonomous decision to leave because you feel like the grass is greener on the other side.
Talk to your elders, right?
Talk to them about it. Process it through it.
With you know, your elders and your pastors. I mean, I've seen cases, and more than one, where somebody misinterpreted, they were a volunteer and they misinterpreted some vibe they got about their service, and it's almost ready to leave. And through discussion, they realized it wasn't what they thought at all, you know. But little things can really be that pebble in your shoe where you think it's more severe than it is, you know.
Yeah, right.
So,
but the blessings, on a higher note, the blessings of church membership are innumerable. And if you're just contemplating, you know, or haven't really thought through very much about your membership in a local church, I just would encourage our listeners to really just give that consideration and commit to that body and love those people and invest in it, because the more you pour your life into these people and the more you pour your life into the ministry of the church, there's just going to be great blessings that are attended to that, I think.
Exactly. Because there's more. There's God, you know, the church is a gift. To each other, so that would be my...
Well said, George. That's good.
Wow, we went way long.
We did, but I hope it was helpful, and we'll look forward to being back with you next time. But thanks so much again for tuning in.